The title of today's talk is Whodunit? The moment we are born and our brain knows nothing of the outside world that we left the womb and we have no knowledge of what we've entered into. And that is the beginning of the great mystery. The brain doesn't register it in a vocabulary of it's a mystery, but it has all of the problems of trying to figure out what next, where am I, what's happening, etc. But it doesn't articulate it, it just has basic biological need reactions in the beginning. The mystery is fostered by dependence on the five senses and the interpretation of the data by the chemistry in the neural network of the body brain. And there we are. It's trying to interpret a world it has no knowledge of. And so the biological reaction to pain or pleasure begins to build a relationship to what the five senses are perceiving and what it's interpreting it to be, pleasant or unpleasant, wanted or unwanted. And out of that begins the construction of the neurological networking of the ego personality. It is always trying to tell us that we are the doer. In our life, the others have power we don't understand. And we are trying to cope with and manage relationships we find ourselves in. The problem is to seriously cloud our perception of how things really work. And it is reinforced by society around us. In other words, we're being hypnotized and conditioned. The hypnosis and conditioning has reached a, let's say, huge mega leap forward because of AI and the chemistry of the different types of, technological advances we are making in communication. You used to be in the early stages of your life, back way when, it was that the family unit, or maybe the extended tribal unit, was your source of information. And then we became communities, and gossip and job requirements and making a living and supporting oneself within a community became more pressing. So it became imperative to fit in or to have some kind of technical capability to exercise importance in the community. Then we learned to write. And so that advanced the amount of information that had to be processed to make up the idea of relationship to a larger world outside of just our little small community. We now maybe lived in a country that had peculiarities and processes, some particular language quirks, etc. And then we learned to make the press. And the press began to condition on a very wide basis the attitudes and the, let's say, relationships that we should, quote, quote, emulate in a much more dynamic, wide-based level. It spread the information of how to behave over a larger area of communication. So once the press was involved, then we had the addition to radio. And when radio became involved, people from one end of the country to the other end of the country would hear similar programs. And they became, let's say, further homogenized towards what was coming out of public broadcasting. And we can see the mega leaps that have taken place since then. Television, then we have the, you know, wherewithal with the communication through computers and that sort of thing. So we've become worldwide connected, the World Wide Web. So it's further homogenizing, but it's also creating cliques of power of information. And with that information comes technology and business. And with technology and business, we have further groupings of power centers. Now, whodunit becomes a very difficult thing to consider. Whodunit? Well, God done it. And we don't believe it. We believe that personalities did it, technology did it, something else did it, not God. God didn't do it. Egos did it. Now, the ego is a very convenient thing to blame while maintaining your own ego. And you can see the whodunit is a problem. In a way, that's kind of why we like mysteries, is because we really don't know what's going on, but we think we want to know, and we think we will know, and then we don't want to know. And it's kind of a very strange, let's say, inability to cope with the massiveness of the concept of who done what. We don't know because there are too many aspects to what's going on. How many laboratories are working on AI? How many laboratories are working on transmutation of cells? How many laboratories are doing all kinds of development that we're not aware of? Who done it? Well, the masters come along and they keep saying, God done it. And that is unacceptable to the majority of brains. And that, in part, is because of the relationship to how many incarnations that an individual has gone through. And what their, let's say, educational background in relationship to spirituality is concerned. But it's getting very difficult for spirituality to stand up against the majority of population that's being programmed to not trust it or not want it, because it interferes with the evolution of ego, identity, and power. So if we look at what's been going on historically over the ages, that small communities may keep a very close-knit belief system in kindness and a type of morality of caring for community. But as soon as we moved into larger groupings, and then we moved into larger communications, and then we moved into moving around and disjointing ourselves from our communities and moving across the world and in different cultures, etc., we lost the sense of community and, let's say, caring about the community as such. So we've gotten into a very difficult time frame where the mass communication of World Wide Web being, let's say, hacked and invaded time and time again. How many times have you heard that somebody's accounts have been hacked? They're, you know, the bank is no longer the bank. Cash is no longer cash. It's a credit card, but no longer a credit card. It's Bitcoin and, you know, it's moving so fast that it is very difficult to keep up with it. But what it's doing is inviting the ego to ignore whodunit, not to be able to come to terms with God as the doer, God as the life in all things, God as the creator. So here we are. We're at this place where the voice is out there, the history is out there, and if you go to the nearest church, it oftentimes is half empty. The number of people that do not, let's say, identify with a religion or a religious teaching is very large these days. It's enlarging every few years that fewer and fewer people are attending churches. If you go to cathedrals in Europe, there's hardly anybody there. So the opportunity here is to realize that we are being pushed through an epic time. And way back in 84, I said this was coming. And we are facing an opportunity as to whether or not we can identify that, let's say, the breakdown of how things have been going is going to speed up. And if we choose to be frightened by it or choose to be upset by it, that will only help the ego to forget the creator in charge. So if we don't take to heart, and I mean to heart, the knowledge that God is the doer, and not only the doer where you are, but the doer where everything else is. Now, sometimes it's easier to be abstract and say God is the doer doing things, but you don't feel like God is doing it when you need to get dinner on, or when the kids are being rowdy, or when you're needing to make a difficult living, or you're hearing all the bad news on the TV, blah, blah. So you have to decide on a line of consciousness that you are going to follow regardless, and that the rest of it is happening for a purpose, and that only in time will it be revealed as you hold on to the truth of it. If you don't hold on to the truth of it and you keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with your ego mind, letting your ego keep on telling you you're the doer, you're not going to know that God is the doer of other things. If you don't believe he's doing it where you are, why would you believe God is doing it worldwide? You see the difficulty. And that's what the ego wants. The ego wants you not to be able to hold on to it. That's been its job the whole time. It is wanting you not to hold on to the knowledge that God is the only doer, and to look for the evidence of that fact. The evidence is all around us, we just don't know it. We don't see it because we're still listening to our ego. And until we look for it, and until we want to see it wholeheartedly, why should it be revealed? Our friend Hafiz has, and I have read this to you long ago and many times ago, get the blame straight. Understanding the physics of God, his indivisible nature, indivisible. Nothing is out of God. Makes every universe and atom confess, I am just a helpless puppet that cannot dance without the movement of his hand. Dear ones, this curriculum tonight is for the advanced and will get all the blame straight. End the mental lawsuits that clog the brain. Hallelujah, baby. Rewards for clear thinking. Think about this for a second. God being God, having infinite knowledge, not only knew your every thought and action your life would ever experience, even before you were born, but he also, being the divine creator, has etched every moment of your existence with his own hand, with the precision and care no artist ever could. Think about this for a moment. I have never heard a bird or the sun ever say to God, "I am sorry." There seems to be a great reward for clear thinking. All existence is a pawn in the friend's hands. Look, one gets wings and gifts to the world, music each morning. One turns into such an extraordinary light, he actually becomes a sustainer of the whole world planet. One makes a thousand moons go mad with love and blush at night. When one can surrender the illusion, the crutch of free will, though still live for the benefit of others, the highest of moral codes. Got it? Get it? Good. Please. We are at the Nile's end. We are carrying particles from every continent, creature, and age. It has been raining on the plains of our vision for millions of years. And our senses are so muddy compared to yours, dear God. But I only hear these words from you where we are all trying to embrace the clear sky ocean. Dear one, come. Please, dear ones, come. Well, you see, it's not just, I mean, let's face it, Hafiz lived a few generations ago. And yet it's the same dialogue. It's exactly the same dialogue. There's only one doer. There's only one doer. So, how many times do we have to hear it before we hear it? Before our nervous system will allow it in. Our nervous system doesn't want to hear it because it runs on adrenaline, because we haven't down-trained and out-trained it. So until we down-train and out-train, until we kill the ego library of pros and cons, likes and dislikes, and doership, and they did it, and they did it, and they did it, and they're doing it, and they're, you know, the first thing that a little kid learns is, well, everybody's doing it. Now, that is the first really, really strong telltale that the child is being taken over by the ego. Everybody's doing it, so I can do it. Doing it. Go do your homework. What do we say? Go do your homework. Everything is go do or go be. You see, our whole linguistic history is doership. And so, obviously, we've been given a setup. It's God's setup. But if you discover that God is hiding in plain sight, and that if you don't stop using your five senses to get information, you won't get information from your soul. You have to decide that your five senses lie to you. Your ego lies to you. It's the creation of the five senses and the ego construct of doership. Everything has to do with doership or not doership. I'm not doing it, therefore I'm doing not doing it, right? I mean, you can't win. I'm not doing it. Really? No. I'm doing, not doing. You see? And this is historical. So don't feel like the Lone Ranger. It goes on generation after generation. We're at the end of the Nile. You're dragging history with you. So it's not a blame game, it's when are you going to wake up game? When are you going to drop the conditioning? When are you going to admit you're conditioned? You have to really go deep down into the subject and apply it to yourself. Because if you don't want to change you, there is no help in heaven that you're going to change anybody else. Or that you will see if anyone else has changed. Or you will vibrate a changed frequency. Ah, you see, who done it? Who done it? And the idea that we like puzzles and mysteries and that sort of thing is all based on God trying to awaken us to the puzzle. The puzzle that we don't understand we're living. It's, why are you so interested in mysteries? I mean, you know, turn on TV and there's 40 mysteries and one nice, loving, kind, thoughtful program, right? And how many cars can you blow up for crying out loud and drive off bridges and explode? And I mean, it's like, you know, I hate to say it, but little boys just love to build things and then smash them. And they like to drop bombs, and they like to have crashes. And little girls are busy making picket fences, and when they build a little house, they want to put dolls in it, and they want to put furniture in it. They want it to last. Little boys want to destroy it. You have to ask yourself, where's the issue here, okay? And if you don't get it clear that you're living in the surroundings of this conflict, and what is exciting and produces more adrenaline at this stage is winning. Adrenaline is what drives misunderstanding, the lack of truth. Adrenaline, truth is not adrenalinized, period. And so if we don't cut through the adrenaline, if we don't get to a biochemical relaxation, well, we keep being the doer. And we just, you know, are going along with the progress of going along, rather than saying, I think I'm going to jump off this running train and take my chances, okay? I'm going to get off. So, who done it? God done it, and God has given us all the tools and the information, and we have to be, let's say, dedicated enough to the concept that God is the creator and the doer. And if we can't give God credit for the doership, then we carry it. You see, all during camp I kept saying it's a kind of an exchange program. It's, you have to understand that you can't have what you don't earn. So if God's been the doer and you have the information, but you're not willing to assimilate that information into your now, then, So, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Isn't that quid pro quo? I mean, it's, you have to understand that the language of the masters is you've got to give in order to get. You have to give up something that is standing in your way. You have to give it up. And that means that you have to spend time contemplating how to give it up, where it will creep back, how to recover from it, and not to feel guilty, but still constantly trying to align to the information, the truth of it, okay? And that's the whole meaning of the awakening, really. If we can't decide that God is the doer, that's not going to get you enlightenment. I'm sorry. God is the only doer. Until we come to that realization, I mean, really realization, to the point that you don't, let's say, cross the line, which means that you now have transmuted the cells of your body enough to hold fast to that truth. You have to transmute in order to hold fast to that truth. Now that's not mean, because the way to do it is to be open-hearted, open-minded, relaxed, joyful. Isn't that mean? And then be still and say the charged names of God. I mean, really, that's like having to build the pyramids without any workers. Sorry. But, you know, it's almost comical when you think about it. It's almost comical. So, here we are. Whodunit? And the answer is, there's only one who done it, God. And he's just waiting in the rafters, wondering when you'll get it. Well, he kind of knows, but, you know. Just have to live with that information, don't we? Okay.